day, and I'd like for you to be turning to the book of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. Suppose that a politician said that since January 2009, the economy has greatly improved, and more people are working, and we have the lowest national debt that we've had since World War II. What would such a politician be? You heard about the bus of politicians that was traveling from Washington, and they went over to the next state, and they went around a curve and went off a cliff. And they looked and looked and looked for him, couldn't find him, and finally they stopped at this old farmer's place and said, there was a bus missing, and it was loaded with politicians, and we can't find them anywhere. Do you know anything about it? Oh, he said, yeah, they went over the cliff there. Well, where are they at? He said, well, there's so many of them, the bus was so wrecked, I just took my bulldozer and dug a hole and pushed them all in it and covered them up. Well, were they all dead? Well, most of them were, but some said they weren't, but you know how politicians lie. The Apostle John is the apostle of love, and he constantly speaks about liars. He never found anything wrong with politically saying that someone was a liar. And I know that calling someone a liar is fighting words. There's a tombstone out in Arizona that says on it, Bill Smith. He called John Jones a liar. And so he was shot. I mean, it's not really popular to call a man a liar, but Jesus used it, and so John felt free to use it. And in the book of John, chapter 8, the Jews are saying, we have Abraham to our father. And he said, well, now, if you were the Abraham, father, children, rather, of Abraham, you would be like Abraham. Abraham wouldn't try to kill me, but you're trying to kill me. And so they said, well, truth is, he says, they said to him, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said, if God were your father, you'd love me. I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why don't you understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you can convince me or convict me of sin? And if I say the truth, why don't you believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. And so then they accuse him of being a Samaritan. He says, I'm not a Samaritan. They said, well, you got a devil. He says, I don't have a devil. And they came on down and talked about Abraham. But in verse 55, he says, you don't know him. You don't know God, but I know him. If I should say I know him not, I would be a liar like you. But I know him, and I keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So Christ says that the devil is the father of lies. He's the father of unbelief. You are of your father, the devil. When you lie, you are acting like a child of the devil. He says he's the father of unbelievers. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he's not talking about Cain killing Abel. He is talking rather about Adam being lied to, which caused the death of mankind. He's a murderer from the beginning. He's the father of lies. And look what it says. Don't miss this. He abode not in the truth. He didn't stay in the truth. What does that infer? No, one time he was in the truth. He did not abide in the truth, but he's the originator of the lie. And he did that of his own will. And if I said that I did not know God, I'd be a liar like you. So you see, Jesus called people liars. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to talk on who is a liar. Since John's the one that is constantly, and remember this is the apostle of love, since John is the one that is constantly calling people liars, what we're going to do is just look at the scripture, and John tells us who a liar is. But remember that the devil is the father of lies. So it's the devil that gets us to lie. And when we lie, then we are proving that we are the children of the devil because we are like him and do what he does. First of all, in 1 John chapter 1, and this is in the epistle now, not in the gospel, but in the epistle of John, if we say we have not sinned, we have made him a liar, and his word is not in us. The devil will get you to say, I have not sinned. If we say we've not sinned, we make God a liar. But the Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. And then the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. If we say we've not sinned, we are a liar. Now, this is especially important. If a guy says, I have no sin, he's a liar. Because when he says, I have no sin, that means I have no guilt. When a man says, I have not sinned, it says there's no need of a sacrifice. When a person says, I have not sinned, he is saying, I don't have a need of a Savior. I've told you before that many times people out in the world say that Christians think they're better than everybody else. No, no, we say, I have sinned. It was prayed this morning. We are sinners. Now, we're sinners saved by grace, but we are sinners. And the Bible says we would make him a liar if we said, I have no sin, because he has told us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if I call you a sinner and you call me a sinner, obviously, we both know that we're right. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if a man says he doesn't have any sin, he means I have no guilt. I'm innocent. It means I don't need a Savior. I don't need a sacrifice. I have not sinned. When you say I have not sinned, you're saying I've not sinned in the past. When you say I've not sinned, you're also saying you're not a sinner now. And they are also saying that in the future, you don't plan on sinning. See, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So much for those who, even among some of our churches lately, people have been saying and will not admit to themselves, I am a sinner. Paul didn't say, I was the chief of sinners. He said, I am the chief of sinners. I am a sinner. And you are a sinner. And when we deny our sin, then we're saying there's absolutely no guilt. Now, obviously, Christ has taken away the guilt of the Christian. He is the Savior of the world. He is the sacrifice that died for us. But when we say that we are not sinners, we don't know the truth. And we don't know ourselves. And we don't know our own heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You do not dare trust your heart. And when you find yourself hard to be convicted of sin, when people try to confront you with something and you will not admit that you sinned, or maybe you didn't commit the particular sin that they've accused you of, but if you have the attitude, I am not a sinner. Years ago, when I was at Treaty, they had a basketball league. and the Methodists were playing treaty. And the Methodist preacher just lost a daughter. I think it was a train crash. And on the court, in a couple of weeks, they were playing, and the Methodist preacher came out with a big, long oath. And it shocked everybody. And everybody came to me and told me what the Methodist preacher said. And I could tell they expected me to condemn him. And I said, "Did you just lose a daughter?" "No." "Well," I said, "he did. And you ought to be sorry that you have condemned him. You aren't going through what he's going through. Now, he sinned, but you ought to feel compassion. You ought to feel something for him." If I had done that, I thought to myself, how ashamed and embarrassed I would be if I came out with a big, long oath. Well, that was probably the best answer I could have given. That got all over the community, and everybody was talking about that Church of Christ preacher down there, that when the Methodist preacher sinned, he had compassion on him, and he didn't condemn him. I just felt, hey, let him without sin cast the first stone. I knew I wasn't a sinless person, so I wasn't going to cast the first stone. The man was so appreciative of the fact that he came to the parsonage and thanked me for not condemning him. I believe that was the beginning of the growth of the church at Treaty when I was there. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. But if either one of us say we are not sinners, the truth is not in us. His word is not in us. His word says we are sinners. Sinners saved by grace, but we are sinners. And you're deceived. You're not fooling anybody else if you say that I have not sinned. Truth's not coming out of your mouth, and it's not in your heart, and it's not even in your intellect. Because you know good and well you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when you say I've not sinned, everybody knows you're lying. And what's worse than you lying is that you're making God a liar. So as I said, those people who say that they've not sinned, why did John have to write this? Because the Gnostics were at that time, and they said that the real man, and this part is true, the real man is the not this shell. This is the tabernacle. This is the body. But they say the real man doesn't sin. That it's just the outward man that sins. And so they were saying, we don't have any sin. They say you can commit adultery and there wouldn't be anything wrong with it because it was just your body that was doing that, not the real you. And so they were saying, we don't have any sin. John says, you say you don't have any sin. You're making God a liar because he has said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the first liar and the first thing the devil gets you to do is to say, I have no sin. I am no sin. I have not sinned. I'm not a sinner. And that makes God a liar, which really makes you a liar because you make God a liar. Secondly, the devil will get you to say, I know him. But if you say, I know him, according to chapter 2, verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and does not continue, remember ETH, continues to keep his commandments, or keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If a man says, I know Jesus, I know him, but you don't obey his commandments, John says, you're a liar. You are lying between your teeth, the fellow says, if you say, I know him, but you don't keep his commandments. If you don't do what Jesus says, and you say, I know Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior, you're lying. And John makes it plain that you're lying. That ought to caution people who are pretenders, who hide behind their cloak of righteousness. That ought to caution people who are hypocrites. That means a false face. They're not what they claim to be. At church, they're fine. But at work, you don't have any idea what they're saying and what they're doing. When they're alone, they are doing things that would be absolutely the opposite of what a Christian ought to do. When the boy and girl are alone and they're doing things that they ought not to do, and they know they ought not to do them, and they're hypocrites and say, I know Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. You're a liar. If you are lying, if you are slandering people and say, I know Jesus, That man's religion, according to James, is worthless. It's vain if you don't control your tongue. And so it's one thing for someone might say, well, I'm not a sinner. That guy's a liar. But so's the guy that says, I know Jesus. I know Jesus is my personal Savior. He died for me. But he's a hypocrite. He's a pretender. He is a willful sinner. He's one of the people that John was writing about in that day, the Gnostics, who says there is no law that they had to obey. Do what you want to with your flesh as long as your spirit's pure. John says, no, if you don't do what he told you to do, you don't know him. And if you say that you do know him, you are a liar. Look at those Pharisees. They were liars. They claimed to know God. Jesus says, you don't know him. You don't know him. If God was your father, you'd love me, he says. But you're trying to kill me. And so you can say, well, I know Jesus, but I'm telling you, friends, in your own personal life, when you're alone or whether you're with that special person or whenever you're at work and you don't think anybody knows, I'm telling you, if you do not keep his commandments, you are a liar. And we need to recognize that. In the book of 1 John, chapter 2 and verses 5 and 6, though, it says, but whoever does keep his word, in him verily is the love of God completed or perfected. And hereby we know that we're in him. He that saith he continues to abide in him ought also himself to walk even as he walked. The proof's in the pudding. Do you walk like he walks? Do you have the attitudes that he has? Do you have the forgiving spirit that he had? See, if you really know him, you continue to keep his word. You obey him. You try to let him regulate every single area of your life. And I don't care if you've been baptized till you're waterlogged, and I don't care if you're here every time these church doors are open, and I don't care how much money you put in that offering plate, and I don't care how many times a Sunday you take the Lord's Supper. If you are not keeping his commandments and you say, I know him, you're a liar. And it's so important to realize that. Listen to what Jesus himself said in John chapter 14. In chapter 14, in the 21st chapter of the book of John, he said, if any man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him and will come into him and make our abode in him. He that loveth me not does not keep my sayings. And the word which you have heard is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So if you love God, if you know Christ, you'll do what he says. If you love me, he says in another scripture, you will keep my commandments. Don't talk about loving God and knowing God if you're not keeping his commandments. Well, now, George, you said we are all sinners. Yes, we're all sinners. But I've explained to you a dozen times there is a difference between falling down and laying down. There's a difference between someone falling and someone setting an appointment to go sin. There is a different thing of someone falling and doing things and then say, oh man, and immediately repenting, and someone who's setting an appointment or setting a date or setting a time to go sin. Or if you know what's going to happen and you go ahead and you do it, not from temptation but from a plan. I plan on missing. I plan on not being around the Lord's table. I plan on going such and such a place that day, and I'm not going to be around the Lord's table. You are not keeping his commandments. And there's no use talking about I know him if you do not keep his commandments. And the third thing the devil will try to get you to do, according to chapter 2 and verse 22, is this. Who is a liar? But he that denieth, continues to deny, that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that continues to deny the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth or continues to deny the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. So let therefore that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. So the devil is going to get you to deny that Jesus is the Christ. Now that was especially pertinent, again, to the Gnostics. Our Jehovah Witness friends, they say Jesus was man, but he wasn't God. The Gnostic says Jesus is God, but he wasn't man. Because the Gnostics thought that Jesus was an apparition. They thought all matter was evil. And since all matter was evil, there's no way in the world that God could become a man and dwell in a body, because flesh is evil. So they thought Jesus was just an apparition. It looks like he was there, but he wasn't. It looked like he had a body, but he didn't. But John's very careful to say our hands handled him. That's how he starts his book when he says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested. We've seen it. We bear witness. We show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So some were saying that Jesus was God, but not man. Today, people say Jesus was man, but not God. They deny that Jesus is the Christ. And whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ, John says, is a liar. Look at verses 1 through 3 of chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, test the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, this is just 60 years after the establishment of the church. Many false prophets gone out in the world. Here's how we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that continues to confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that continues to confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. And so it's very important to know that a man is a liar if he denies that Jesus is the Christ, that God became a man. In the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word, what? Became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so whoever denies that God sent his Son, whoever denies that Jesus has come in the flesh and that he is the Christ, he's a liar. And he has no life. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the next verse says something that everybody needs to remember. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, people do not believe that Jesus has come in the flesh, that Jesus is the Christ. They're condemned. Why are they condemned? Because they're liars. He that believeth not is condemned already. And the fourth liar that John talks about is also in chapter 4 and verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? This is the commandment we have of him, that he who continues to love God, love his brother also. So if a man says, I love God, but he hates his brother, now that's a liar. That guy is not telling the truth. Now, this is very important. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Cain hated Abel because Abel did right. So marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that continues to love not his brother continues to abide in death. Whosoever continues to hate his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. By the way, John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. 1 John 3:16 says, that's how we perceive the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. But the rest of the verse says, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. It's not enough to say, I love God because he sent Jesus to die for me. If we hate our brother, we're liars. If we hate our brother, we have not passed from death unto life. That's how we know we pass from death unto life, when we love the brethren. What does he mean, love the brethren? Well, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother have need and continues to shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how does the love of God continue to dwell in him? My little children, let's not love in word. Let's not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And this is how we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. But if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he continues to know all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we that believes in the name of the Son of God, or Son of Jesus, or the Son, that his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave commandment. And he that continues to keep his commandment continues to dwell in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he continues to abide in us by the Spirit which he has given us. You see, a man, if he does not love his brother, is a liar. He says, I love God. But if he hates his brother, and love doesn't mean I got warm, fuzzy feelings about him. Love means I help him. Love means when I see he has need, I help him. And if I don't help him, how does the love of God dwell in me? And John tells us in that text, how can you say you love God whom you've not seen when you don't love your brother whom you have seen? It's a dangerous thing not to love our brother. Listen to what the Bible says, and that scripture that we looked at a few weeks ago in the book of Mark, chapter 12, when I told you that someone asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was. He said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. That's the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. The loving of God and the loving of your brother are the two greatest commandments. And one is as important as the other. And a man is a liar if he says, I love God, and sees his brother have need and doesn't have the desire to help him. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 22 is a very interesting scripture. You got to give some thought to it when you read this passage. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 22, here's what it says. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man's better than a liar. In other words, What he's saying there, it's better to desire to do good, to be kind to another person, and lack the ability to help them. In other words, you're so poor you can't help them, than to have the ability and not have any desire to help. Better be a poor man wishing that he could help than being a rich man that doesn't have any desire to help. That's a dangerous position. What's he mean? A poor man's better than a liar. Because the rich man will often say, I'm going to help you. Rich man say, I'd like to help you. Rich man might say, I'm going to. But he doesn't do it. Well, it's better to be poor and make no promises that you're going to help than to be rich and say, I want to help when you don't want to help. It's better to be a poor man than a liar. So the Bible has a lot to say about lying. So let me say in conclusion this. Who does the Apostle John say is a liar? He says the person is a liar who says, I have no sin. He is a liar who says, I know him, but doesn't keep his commandments. He's a liar who denies that Jesus is not the Christ. He says he's Antichrist. Now, Antichrist can mean against Christ. He's against Christ if he denies that Jesus is the Christ. But there's also another thought on the word Antichrist. Anti can also mean in the place of. The man who says, I take the place of Christ. That could be a preacher. That could be a priest. That could be a pope. People who say, I take the place of Christ. I will forgive your sins. I'm Father Brown. I'm the source of life. That's against Christ. No one takes the place of Christ. Even people who say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, if they have the attitude, I take the place of Christ, he's Antichrist who takes the place of Christ. And so, I've not sinned. I know him, but I don't obey him. The man who says Jesus is not the Christ, and the man says, I love God, but hates his brother. That is, he does not help his brother. Those people are liars. John say anything else about liars? Yeah, he does. In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, in verse 8, he says one more thing about liars. And that's this. The fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Those people who won't admit being sinners, those people who say, well, I know him, but don't obey him, those people who deny that he's the Christ, those people who say they love him but hate their brother are liars. And John says that all liars are going to have their part in the lake of fire. Now, this morning we communed. When I took communion this morning, I was saying, I am a sinner. Jesus atoned for my guilt. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus was the sacrifice. So I affirmed when I took the Lord's Supper this morning, I'm a sinner. And when I took the Lord's Supper this morning, I was obeying one of his commandments. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And so when I took the Lord's Supper this morning, I kept that commandment. Millions of people today say, I know Jesus, but they didn't take the Lord's Supper. They didn't come together with the brethren to encourage one another. He didn't talk about drinking juice. God's not interested in just coming here and taking a little juice, eating a little bread and then leaving. He's not interested in that. That don't mean any more to him than it does to me. And if I partook of the juice out of a formality, you didn't commune. you didn't examine your heart and say, God, I am a sinner. And I'm so glad you died on that cross for my sin. And I'm so happy that you have this ordinance that we can come together and remember that you are the Christ. When we took the Lord's Supper this morning, it did what 1 Corinthians 11 says, we do show forth the Lord's death till he come. That he's the Christ, he's the sacrifice. And when we partook of the Lord's Supper this morning, if we obeyed Scripture, we looked among ourselves. We judged, it says in Greek, the Lord's body. We discerned or judged the Lord's body. The early church wasn't doing that. There at Corinth, they weren't doing that. They were, one guy was taking before his brother, the other one was taking and not giving heed whether anybody else, because they have what was called a love feast. And finally, Paul had to separate them from eating the Lord's Supper with a common meal, because some people were coming together, not for the better, but for the worse, because they were not thinking of the needs of their brother. And that Corinthian passage says that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're supposed to discern, judge the Lord's body. So-and-so's having marriage problems, so-and-so's needing a job, so-and-so's out of money, so-and-so's got a cancer, so-and-so's mother just died. We are to discern the Lord's body. We're to care for the Lord's body. We're set to say, now, is there anybody in our body, in our midst today, that's in need? Don't say, be clothed, be warm, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are necessary to the body. The man who does not care for the widows and the orphans in their affliction, the Bible says that man's religion is vain. That's pure religion and undefiled before God, to visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction and to keep themselves unspotted from the world. So this morning we gathered together and we partook of the Lord's Supper, and we, if we were sincere, are not liars. I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus is the Christ. He said to do this, and I'm glad to do it. I do it with all my heart. And I discern the Lord's body. I don't expect to hear, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Because I am a sinner. If you're not a Christian today, you need to say, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I am guilty. I have violated God's holy law. And I believe that Jesus Christ was sent into the world to come into the world to save sinners, and I qualify. And I repent. I'm going to start obeying your commandments. I'm going to stop doing wrong, and I'm going to start doing right. And I'm not going to only love Jesus. And I'm not only going to love God whom I've not seen. I'm going to love my brother whom I have seen. I'm going to meet people's needs. I'm going to keep not only the first commandment of loving the Lord thy God with all my heart and soul and body and strength. I'm going to keep the second commandment. I'm going to love my neighbors myself. I'm going to do unto others as I'd have them do unto you. And if that's where you're at today, we commend you to do that so that you won't be a liar and you will not be cast into outer darkness with these abominable and unbelieving and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. Because all liars are going to end up where all adulterers end up. I'm talking about unrepentant adulterers. I'm talking about unrepentant whoremongers. I'm talking about unrepentant drunks and abominable and murderers and idolaters. You want to spend eternity with them? Or would you rather spend eternity with someone who died for you, suffered for you, so that you could be saved? You're making that decision as we stand and sing our song of invitation.